It's so good to be here. It's so good to be looking out at all you ladies. Oh, you're such a treasure. To Jesus and definitely to me. So we're in the last part of Philippians. Hasn't it been amazing? I love Philippians. And like the chapters before, the sections before, there's treasures for us here, even in this last part. God's always just showing us his treasures. So let's start out reading in Philippians 4, verse 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, in case it's different from what you're reading from. It says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned for me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." So we've already learned about in chapter 1 of Philippians about the Philippians' concern and support for Paul, both financially and in bringing the gospel, the good news. Now they're continuing the support. They sent Epaphroditus, like Nicole was talking about. has been talked about before in Philippians with another gift for him. But verse 4:11 says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing and or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." So Paul is saying, "I have learned how to be content." He didn't just automatically know it. He had to learn it. So how do we learn how to be content? How do we practice contentment? How do we get there? It's not natural to our flesh, for sure, to be content about anything, even the weather. God convicted me on that. It's like, yeah, this is from me too. Why are you moaning about this? But even those small things, but in everything. So I thought about it and I thought, first of all, we have to choose it over and over and over again. We have to choose it. Why in the world should we choose it? When things are tough, why should we choose it? Because those tough things are being allowed by a God who loves us so much. He gave everything for us, everything. He suffered everything for us. Then he rose victorious to bring us to himself. And we can walk in that victory. We can walk in that victory, and part of walking in that victory is choosing to be content. It's so easy. I mean, we live in such a land of plenty here, and we live in a place where the weather's easy. Sorry, but it is. It's just really easy, and I find myself sliding into this too, just having things all set up for my little world. This is my convenience. Oh, they don't have this at the store that I like. You know, all those kind of things that just sneak in, that's not walking like Jesus at all. So he's been convicting me a lot, especially lately, but he always does. So we can choose it. That's a choice. But we begin by thanking him. And I found that that's the anecdote as soon as those thoughts start, to be saying it out loud or to be writing it down, or, you know, even if it's just one thing that I'm thanking him for. And it really turns you around the other way. So that contentment can come in. And that's his heart for us. You know, he loves us so much. He wants us to live in his contentment. Not to be stoically stuffing everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving everything to him and leaning on him with all those hard things, those really hard things. And also, you know, Paul said, even when he had a lot, he had to learn contentment. And that's true too, to learn to not trust what you've got, but to trust God. And to be asking him where all those things should be going. Maybe they shouldn't be going to what you're putting them on. Maybe he's got a better purpose for them. Just to lean on his strength when we can't see or understand what he's doing. Because a lot of times we can't. Sometimes over time he shows us. Sometimes we won't know till glory. And I don't think he minds if we go, "What are you doing? I don't understand." You know? And it's just getting back to who he is and trusting him because of who he is. And what that does, that contentment, it opens us up for an outflow of grace to other people. Because when we're not contented, we're looking at, "Oh, I wish it was this way. I don't have this. Oh, you know, I can't be happy because of this." All of that garbage that we get wound up in. And his grace doesn't have that open channel to flow to other people. But contentment really opens that up. And we're not really doing it as the first purpose of it, but contentment is a huge witness to the world. You know, I've been times in my life when I've tried to produce contentment artificially to be a good witness, and that doesn't work either. So just let him do it and be open to him and what he's doing. So verse 13 is a very well-known verse, very well-known. It says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." So this verse is probably one of the most quoted out of context verses in the Bible. You know, you see it, athletes are quoting it, students are quoting it before they go to an exam, you see it on cushions, on people's couches, you see it on wall art. The meaning that I've often seen, and I've done it myself too, is that through God's power, I can accomplish my purposes. Is that what this verse is saying in this context? Paul was just talking about being content in everything that he's gone through and is going through. So I don't think that's really it. Paul was talking about leaning on Christ in everything that God allowed in his life, empowered by the beautiful Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purposes. That's the difference. Should be our focus. More and more. Verse 14 says, "Even so," Paul says to the Philippians, "you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." Oh, let's wait till verse 17 and we'll talk more about that. This is kind of going south. Okay. Hopefully you can all hear me anyway. Verse 15 says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. So they've been helping him for a while. But here is the outflow from Paul back to them. The grace that he had received from Christ who strengthened him, thanking them from the bottom of his heart for their support and their partnership in God's work. It's not just financial support. A lot of it is partnering with people and encouraging them. It's so huge. I think sometimes we see people that are in official ministry as being some kind of super saints that don't need encouragement. But that's not true. All of them need encouragement. So, how do we support those who are doing God's work? How do you choose who to support? For how much? For how long? I had a few thoughts, and I'm going to open it up for thoughts from you for a little bit. Because Nicole talks so long, we don't have to know. Just kidding. Thankfully, she did. Number one, seek God. Number two, seek God. Number three, seek God. That's the most important. But keep seeking him, too. I've been in situations in the past where I was supporting someone ongoing, you know, and it was just kind of rolling along, and I didn't have it set up to periodically say, let's look at this and pray about this again, about where this should be going. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will just bring somebody else in for you, moves you to support them, not on any kind of schedule. But that's really cool. So some questions are, did you know them personally? A lot of us know people that have gone other places in ministry, that minister here. Are they supported by your church? Or those two? What's their track record? Their financial transparency. Can you easily find where funds that they receive are going? What's their leadership structure? You know, do they have a board? All those kind of things. Are they responsible to, accountable to? Is their work local? Is it in another country? Is it global, all over? What's their priority? Is it evangelism? Is it, if it's evangelism, is it reaching the unreached or people that are reached already? And church planning, is that it? Is it discipleship? Is it Bible translation? There's a lot of different wonderful things that God's doing. Is it short term? Some ministries go in a crisis. You know, they're there for a short time. Other ones are more long-term. All those things are good to look at. What is their statement of faith? What are their ministry goals? What are their methods? All those things. Do they partner with local believers? And if it's in another country, is there some kind of a thought of how to transfer the ministry to local believers in that country over time. Okay. We're surrounded. How do they communicate with supporters? How often do they communicate? Are there periodic emails, newsletters, that sort of thing, or not? To whom are they accountable? Those are just some things I thought of. So I'm going to throw that open. You all have things probably to contribute to that.
I think accountability is so important.
Yeah.
That, you know, that it's not just them, but there's accountable to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or board or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's hard to know sometimes. They actually, their board got taken over to correct things, and they sent money back to people that had sent money. But really investigating and asking questions about financial accountability, because like you said, a board, is there somebody in charge? You just don't give money willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the Lord knows how to apply it
where
it needs to go.
Yeah. Barbie?
I think also just really praying and seeking the Lord, because He will give you discernment of where you should give and where you shouldn't, I think. And so not only looking at all the stuff, but just really, you know, asking the Lord, do you want
yes.
me to give?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Because something could be looking really good and the Lord is just saying, no, stop. Yeah, so, yeah, Cindy.
To look at the administration, how much percentage goes to the administration versus the mission field or wherever.
Yeah, that's a good, yep. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned how much effort they put into developing leaders within that country, if it's globally or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A good, great example of that, and it's so important, is in Haiti. This one mission is called Mission of Hope, and they took so much time to develop leaders there. And as you guys probably know, you can't go into that country now as a North American. So they had to leave when that president got assassinated. The North Americans had to leave. But the mission is still going well, because they had so many people established in country.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Rebecca. You alluded to this, but just looking at the fruit of the work that they're doing.
That too. Mm-hmm. That too. Yeah.
As a married woman, I think it's important that my husband and I are both in agreement about where we give our money. Because years ago, we had a disagreement, and it turned out wrong. But I kept saying, this sounds too good to be true. And I think that's right. Too good to be true. And we really need the Lord's, the Holy Spirit's discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in agreement.
Can I bring that up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know in my case, my husband is the saver and I'd love to give things away. So it's a good balance, too, in the amount, to be really seeking the Lord on that and not just be running in the flesh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You also need to wait.
Yeah.
Wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's been times when I can't tell my husband why I have a red flag about something, I believe, unless God reveals it otherwise, that it's just something that I tell him and he listens, which I'm very grateful for. But sometimes we don't know why we give and why we don't give. But like somebody else said, it's our heart. We have to first just give with our heart and then trust. They don't have to tell us, okay, this is what we did and this is what we did. That's controlling God, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just waiting on the Spirit.
All right. Oh, thank you all. Verse 17 now. Paul says, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. So his heart was for them to be enjoying. Have you noticed that when you give and God's leading it? It is such a blessing to you. That's not why you're doing it, but it's so amazing. And then you're tuned into certain countries in a different way, or certain things that are going on, certain ministries in a different way, because you're a partner in it. It's not just that's happening over there. And that can even happen in a church, you know. Like, that's happening up in front, then I'm kind of sitting and soaking and leaving. But anyway, it is just amazing. So Paul, he's commending them because they've done well, as it said in verse 14, and will receive God's reward, which includes the incomparable joy of partnering with God in his work. Isn't it amazing to you that the God of the universe desires to partner with us in his work? It always amazes me. It's just mind-blowing. Paul says in Acts 20, verse 35, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's really true. The Philippians also live this. Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 through 3. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. So the Philippians. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. So that tells you kind of the backstory on that they weren't really, really giving sacrificially out of the heart. So verse 18 says, at the moment, Paul says, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Isn't that amazing? Yes. It's just like a sacrifice wafting up to him and making him smile. Verse 19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Again, the contentment that Paul has learned is flowing out in encouragement to the Philippians, because it sounded like maybe they could use some encouraging too. They're going through hard times. They were, yeah, big time. His supporters and partners in spreading the good news. Then in verse 20, he says, now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. Then he says in 21, give my greetings to each of God's holy people. All who belong to Christ Jesus, the brothers who are with me, send their greetings. Verse 22, he says, and all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. What? Who was Caesar?
Nero.
Nice guy, right? One of the most evil rulers in history. And God's power triumphed in the midst of all that. His household, in his very household, God was bringing people to himself and to life, away from all that death, all that darkness. Our God is amazing. Just is. The last verse says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's the same grace that supplied all of Paul's needs. It supplied all the Philippian believers' needs. It brought salvation to those in the household of evil Nero. It's the same grace that saved us and lives in us and empowers us through the Holy Spirit every day. May his grace so fill us that it pours out on everyone. I think there's time to share or ask questions. If anybody wants to, go ahead, Rebecca.
I wrote in my Bible next to verse 11, I have learned how to be content. It occurred to me that he wasn't just like living in survival mode, even though he had experienced trauma on a regular basis. It wasn't like, what's going to go wrong today? It wasn't that PTSD kind of experience, and it was like legitimately content.
That's so good. Yeah. That is so, yeah. So right. Yeah. And the Philippians too. I mean, they're going through really tough stuff too. And it says the overflow of their joy, it was what made them give. So, yeah. Teresa? Oh, I thought I saw your hand wave. Okay. All right. Thank you all. Oh.
Did you have one comment? We're talking about a thanksgiving and giving and being thankful. And it just kind of occurred to me that as you were reading how Paul perceived the gift, I know a lot of people sometimes struggle with receiving and being able to receive. And so we're taught a lot about giving, but not much about how to receive. And Paul is giving us an example of how to receive, recognizing with gratitude and thanksgiving and blessing the other person. And really, he's not going, no, thank you. I don't need it, or God will provide it. It's really, he recognizes that it is from God.
Yes.
And that it's going to bless the people, and he's just letting them know how blessed they are.
So yep.
It just occurred to me, like, oh, this is also a teaching of how to receive.
Yes. So, really? Yeah. Beautifully true. Yeah.
Just following on that in verse 17, he says, I don't seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So there's a fruit that you get by giving. And the fruit is the souls that he saves. I mean, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
That's why, as we spoke, be careful when you give. Know what you're giving to. Mm-hmm. I have to You know, I have friends called Sharon and Mike Dutra, and they don't have a board, I don't believe, but they put their word in the prisons all over the world.
Yeah.
And they don't take a penny from what's given. They live on their social security. And all that money goes to supplying the gospel to prisoners which come into the Lord big time. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
You need to know where you're putting your money. Know the people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just do it on the television, you know, because they come and abuse your money. Know where it's going.
Yeah.
And that fruit abounds to you.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of it abounds to you, which I think is a double-edged blessing. Hope I made it plain.
Yeah,
Diane. That makes me think of the people that we are giving to pray for them. Because
yes.
They live on the gifts that people send them.
Yes.
And we have young friends that have been in different countries as missionaries, and they struggle with this is their income plus the blessing to the work that they're doing. So dividing what they spend on themselves from what is in ministry, that sometimes they're guilty, like they've got something nice in their house and people come and visit and they go, oh, they're spending their money on this
right
kind of thing, you know. So it's like our hearts have to be right to realize that there are people that need to live like we live, and we have some nice things.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to feel their conscience is free to give what goes to the ministry, to give what there is their livelihood, to be able to know the difference in all that. They need partner.
Yeah. Absolutely. And guidance by the Spirit.
To kaboose that, I was thinking, you know, because Paul came from wealth, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and so people can be very judgmental, like Diane was saying, but it's like, they could have said, well, he could have saved up money and taken care of himself, and yet they didn't do that with him. They saw the difference in his life, which I love, because just because a person was wealthy at one time doesn't always mean that they're not in need at that time when they're going through the hard knocks. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? So the judgment, yes, checking the fruit, yes. But the judgment needs to be, you have no clue. I mean, it was an example, like I used to be really broke when I was a single mom. You guys don't think this is weird, but I needed a new bra. I literally had to tie it in a knot in the back. And so when I sat at my desk at work, it was really uncomfortable, you know? But you don't know what that, I was like, oh, I need this bad. But nobody thought, oh no, she did. That's ridiculous. But yes, you know what? Those small little things
mm-hmm.
are huge. You look at lotion, you're like going, oh, I would have loved a tube of lotion. You know, your skin's cracking, it hurts. And you know, the simple, just
yeah.
be simple sometimes.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be the extravagant, oh, we'll go to $100 or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And through, it's that you're always seeking the Lord on the people that you support and with things that are happening with them. One family we support in the check that we know the parents personally, their whole family, they've got three daughters, their whole family got Lyme disease. And so right now they're taking time out, they're in Minnesota for a year. And then it's like, then for sure, you know, we're going to keep supporting them through this time, too. It's not just like, well, you're not out there producing converts. For one thing, I'm sure with them that wherever they are, they're having an effect for God's kingdom. But it's, you know, seeing people that are in ministry as people. And, yeah, really. Barbie.
On the other side of the coin, giving and then being blessed because you give. I remember when we were poor, had nothing in debt, but we never stopped giving tithe, and we never were wanting. God always mm-hmm. took care of us, even in those times where we would pray and be on our knees and a job would come along or something would come in the mail. And so it's the joy of giving, but God is always reciprocal.
He's more than reciprocal.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. It's so neat. All right. Thank you all. And praise God, I didn't have to open the water.